So the epistle for the first Sunday after Easter is taken from 1 John chapter 5. Dear beloved, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit which testifieth that Christ is the truth. And there are three who give testimony in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that give testimony on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, because he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth in the Son of God hath the testimony of God in himself. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The gospel is taken from John chapter 20. At that time when it was late, that same day, the first of the week, and the doors were shut, where the disciples were gathered together for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. He said therefore to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father had sent me, I also sent you." When he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, who is also called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put in thy finger hither, and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not incredulous, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." Many other signs also did Jesus in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Please be seated. Peace be to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Father, dear faithful, we've come to the end of the octave of Easter with this Low Sunday. Low Sunday in contrast to the great feast of Easter itself, which is also referred to as High Sunday, which is obviously Easter, the greatest of the liturgical feast. And the post-communion prayer of today's Mass, it reminds us, says that these sacred and holy mysteries which thou hast given us to safeguard our rebirth may be for us a remedy both now and in the future. And so one of the things that it brings out for us to understand and to see, that the things that our Lord has established for us, they are a means to help us to be reborn. Reborn, obviously, in getting to heaven. And that's why it says that it's a remedy both for us now and then for the future. For now, because of the facts we see with the sacraments, they are a means of bringing us closer to God. I mean, one, we see the illustration of confession in the gospel account today. But also this time period of the Paschal tide. It is a means for us to gain the graces that God has in store for us. We talked all about that during the time period of Lent, of how we prepared our soul and we tried to remove all the obstacles for the graces that we are to receive. The graces that God has in store for us on the great feast of Easter and then this time period following from that. And so that's what we've been spending our time trying to do. But then also we see in today's Mass in the Epistle, it talks about our faith, the belief in our Lord Jesus Christ being the Son of God. And it is through that belief in Him that our faith is what will overcome then the world. And that's what I think is also important for us, especially as, yes, the church suffers through her crisis. You know, that is something that can be very disturbing for us. We don't quite understand it. We're not quite sure why God permits all the different things that He permits. But again, it reminds us of the fact of the strong faith that we must have and the trust that we must have in our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows what he's doing. I mean, look at the apostles themselves. After our Lord died on the cross, they all run and they go up to an upper room and they lock the door. And so even for the apostles who are with our Lord for 3 years, 3 years of his public life, of the miracles he performed, of the parables he gave to them to understand, they saw all that our Lord had done, and yet he died on the cross, and immediately they run to an upper room because they were afraid. And so they didn't understand what had just taken place. I mean, it's very clear, and when seeing the two disciples that are walking to Emmaus, they are talking the whole journey about how they thought this was the Messiah. They thought this was the one for them. But he died on the cross, and now look. And so they did not believe at that point. And so that's why our Lord then comes to them, and it says in sacred scripture that because of their disbelief, they could not see clearly. So they did not recognize that this was our Lord. Because of their lack of faith, they were blinded. And so then our Lord asked him, so what are you talking about? So immediately for them, they kind of belittle in the fact that they said, what, you don't know what's going on? About this Jesus of Nazareth that had been here, who had preached for 3 years, and now he died on the cross? And so then our Lord goes and explains sacred scripture to them. He goes and explains all that our Lord himself would have to suffer in order for this to take place, the resurrection, his resurrection, but then also the redemption of mankind. And so after explaining all of that to them, they ask him, and they have now a stronger belief. And so they said, why don't you come and share dinner with us? And so then at that point, our Lord shows them who he is, but then he disappears from them. And so you can see then the lack of faith and lack of trust that the people had, his disciples, the apostles who had been with him. And so, yes, they had a lack of faith. But this is the same thing that we see in the epistle for today's Mass, of saying that our faith will overcome the world. The trust that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ in what he had said he would do, that is what will overcome then the world. And so, yes, as I say, because of all the crisis that the church is suffering and what is going through, today's canonizations, yes, it is very, what a mystery it is to us of why God permits all of these things to happen. But we need to show our trust in our Lord. I mean, just as poor St. Thomas, doubting Thomas, goes down in history, because he did not have a chance to put his hands in our Lord's side, see his wounds himself, he would not believe his apostles. Even though for every single one of them, they said, okay, well, we just saw our Lord. And this, again, going back to the fact of what our Lord had said to them, I will come back and strengthen you. So he told them that he would come back. He told them that he would resurrect from the dead. And look at the surprise that all of them had when they go, St. Mary Magdalene, when the apostles, St. Peter and St. John, go and run to the sepulcher. There's almost as if a surprise, it's like, oh wow, he actually did resurrect from the dead. He's gone. Even though our Lord told them that he would, again, there is still that disbelief, even amongst the apostles, the disciples of our Lord. And so therefore then, for St. Thomas, our Lord comes back 8 days later when he knows that St. Thomas is there amongst the apostles. And he says to Thomas, he comes into the house, peace be to you. And he says, Thomas, okay, now you can touch my wounds. You can put your hand in my side. So now you can believe. And so he does that for St. Thomas. And for all of us, all we have to do, we have to look and see all that our Lord has done for us. Not only the gospel accounts that we can read at any time that we want to strengthen our faith, but because of also the fact of all that God has done for us. appearing to St. Margaret Mary, Our Lady appearing, all these different miracles, these different things, the miracles of the Holy Eucharist, all these different things to try to strengthen our faith. And yet a lot of times we still have that lack of trust in God. Almost as if to ask ourselves, it's like, does he know what he's doing? You know, why is he permitting? I wouldn't do it this way. Well, that's because we're not God. I mean, yes, it'd be a lot easier for all of us if everything, the church was back in her senses, everything was wonderful, and we wouldn't have any crisis in the church. Yes, it'd be a lot easier, but then still at that point, would people still believe? I mean, our Lord was in the world for 3 years publicly preaching, and the people still didn't believe in him. He performed miracles for them, all these different things, and yet the people still doubted our Lord, rejected our Lord, crucified him on the cross. So no offense against all of us, what can we say that we would, oh yes, we'd have such a great faith if everything was right? Well, this is the test that God gives to us. It's much more important for us to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ when things look bleak than when everything is going so well. I mean, that's why the famous saying that many of the spiritual authors will say, it is only those that suffer through the passion that can then enjoy the resurrection. And so that is why, yes, God in his infinite wisdom is permitting this crisis in the church. We know not why. We don't understand it, nor are we really meant to. It is a supernatural problem that deserves a supernatural answer. Supernatural answer will only come from our Lord Jesus Christ. What is God expecting from us? To do our duty of state. Something so simple as that is what God expects from us. To be faithful to our duty each day. To try to live our lives pleasing to God. To always try to be in the state of grace. That is what God is expecting from all of our souls. And so that is why also then the fact of it reminds us of how we must have a strong faith. A strong trust in God. And that is the important lesson I think that we need to try to gain from this Sunday. I mean, yes, we have the example of doubting Thomas. But that example should give to us the fact of how much God cares for our souls, that he was willing to come for doubting Thomas, even though all the other apostles believed. They tried to encourage St. Thomas, but we saw our Lord. And he's like, nope, unless I'm able to put my hands in his side, I'm not going to believe. And yet our Lord came back for him, to strengthen him. And that's why it's important to see St. Thomas obviously fell badly from that. And that's why some people say that he went all the way to India, farthest away, because of his disbelief at that time. And that's where he ended up dying for the faith there, bringing the word of God all the way out, following exactly what our Lord says, to preach to all nations. And so it's interesting for us just to see then the strength of faith that we must try to have. And that's why, you know, we need to pray for this solid faith, especially in these times. And it leads one to a prayer that St. Claude de Colombier had written, The Act of Confidence. A beautiful prayer. He actually gave it as a sermon. But this sermon has gone down to be, as I say, a very beautiful prayer in showing the trust that we must have in God. In St. Claude de Colombier's prayer, his sermon that he gave, he talks about how everything around us can fall apart. Our health, we can even fall into sin, lose the grace of God. You know, the talents and the gifts that we have, we can lose all of these different things. Everything can be lost around us. But he said one thing should always remain. He said that's your hope in Almighty God. People can try to take things from you. People can try to, you know, whatever, beat you. But there's one thing that should always remain for your soul. And that is then the hope and the confidence that you have in God. And so he says, amongst everything that is shaken, amongst everything that is taken away from you, if that is the one thing that remains, you will be able to save your soul. Because that hope and that confidence that you have in God will carry you then to heaven. Because through the confidence of God, yes, if you lose the grace of God, you'll be able to come back to it because you'll be confident that God can give you those graces that you need. If your health goes, well, at least you can at least say, I still trust in God. He knows what he's doing. He strips me of my health, so be it. Maybe this is my ticket to heaven. And so that's why I say, yes, everything around us could go. But as long as we have the confidence and the trust in God, we will be able to save our soul. And so that is why that prayer is, I think, so important to us, especially today. I mean, St. Claude de Colombier was the spiritual director of St. Margaret Mary. And so we're talking about the 17th century of when he lived and had written this prayer or this gave this sermon. But it is so much more important today for us because, yes, we're undergoing this crisis. We're undergoing these trials of our faith. All the more so do we need this confidence in God, this trust in God. So I would encourage you to try to find the means for us to have this trust and this confidence in God, even amongst all the things that are going on around us. I mean, at least show God the trust that you have that he knows what he's doing. As opposed to us being so critical, being so cynical at times, if we just try to show that confidence and trust in God, yes, our faith will overcome the world. And that is what our Lord gave us our faith for. The belief in the things unseen. To overcome the things of this world. And how often the people of this world, unless they're able to touch it, their empirical data, unless they have all these different things, they're not going to believe. That's why it's so important for us to believe. To trust in Almighty God. Because he knows what he's doing. So let us pray for this confidence, this trust. Let us even turn to doubting Thomas. One who, yes, he doubted our Lord at that time. But then his famous words, my Lord and my God, his act of faith that strengthened his soul. And that is the encouragement that we're always encouraged to make during the consecration itself. When we see the host, we say, my Lord and my God. That should be an act of confidence, an act of trust that we make in our Lord. So as I say, I encourage you to try to pray to St. Thomas, to ask for that increase of trust and that confidence in God, and also to try to find the prayer of confidence, act of confidence of St. Claude de Colombier. If I remember, I'll try to put some out before I leave for the monastery in the back of the church for you. It's a beautiful prayer, and it's something that is, I would say, is a great consolation to us in this time. That if everything else is taken from us, the one thing that will remain is the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.